we started out talking about the purpose of God, we're going to finish our dispensational study. The purpose of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us clarity as to what you intend for us here on this earth. We thank you for the hope of what is to come in the future, but there is the present to deal with. And we are to live a certain way for you now. So give us understanding, please, of what you expect of us today. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. God's purpose for us here on earth, simply stated, is for man to reflect God's image as he manages God's property here on earth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. He gave man dominion when he made him. He provided through the years various resources for man to use in making a choice. The choice was between right and wrong. Each one of these resources was intended to help man make the choice of right over wrong. After my introduction and leading up to the three points of my sermon this morning, we will look first at why choosing wrong over right is the opposite of the image of God. Then we will look at why choosing right over wrong is a reflection of God's image. And then we will look at why faith is the key to choosing right over wrong. Now, the resources he provided through the years were innocence, conscience, government, promise, law, grace, and eventually, in the future, kingdom. Each of these resources was designed to assist man in choosing right over wrong, because choosing right over wrong is equivalent to reflecting the image of God, because God is right. Innocence was the ability to choose right over wrong because right is all they knew. It was the familiar in contrast to the strange. Actually, even though innocence is lost, this concept characterizes the simplicity one ultimately obtains in Christ, resulting from a childlike faith. Then there was conscience, which is the ability to choose right over wrong based upon an internal understanding of the difference between the two. Government is the authority of some to enforce right over wrong in others. Promise is an incentive to choose right over wrong because of the blessing that will result from doing so. Law is a written explanation in detail of what God considers to be right. Grace is an enabling to do the right thing by the direct involvement of the Holy Spirit and by his fruit in our lives to refrain from all wrongdoing. Kingdom will be the incentive to choose right over wrong because of the personal presence of the King himself, who will immediately judge those who do wrong. Of course, you have to know the difference between right and wrong in order to make the choice of right over wrong. Isaiah 7:16 refers to a time in a young child's life before he knows to refuse the evil and choose the good. And then Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 describes how society becomes so corrupt that people call evil good and good evil, and they just don't know the difference, which is sad. So let's look first at why choosing wrong over right, that is evil over good, is the opposite of reflecting the image of God. God gave something to mankind in the very beginning of creation. In Genesis 1:26, God's plan was to make man in his own image, in his own likeness, and in that image and likeness, man was to have dominion over the earth. Look here in Psalm 8 and verse 4, where it asks the question, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And it refers to creation when it says in verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. How is that? How were we crowned with glory and honor? Verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Crowned with honor and glory, made to have dominion. The honor and glory is being made in the image of God, and having dominion is the way we express the image of God. Choosing wrong over right, however, rather than being an exercise of dominion, is an act of submission to an authority other than God. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, this is exactly what Adam and Eve did. Instead of maintaining their dominion in this earth as the image of God, they submitted to the lies of a serpent. Choosing wrong over right places man in bondage. If you reflect upon what happened to Adam and Eve, they became in bondage to fear. What did they do right after they had eaten of the forbidden fruit? They hid themselves from God. Cain's choice placed him in bondage to be a fugitive, as it describes in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 12, a fugitive and vagabond. Men's choices before the flood, choosing wrong over right, brought them in bondage to evil imaginations continually. They just couldn't help themselves anymore. Israel's choices placed them in bondage in Egypt, from which they had to be delivered by God. And on it goes. Go over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he that is Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Regardless of how much mankind, unbelieving mankind, tries to act like they are in control of their lives and they are happy and having fun, they fear death. because of its uncertainty. When a person makes a choice, it appears that he's in control. I've made the choice. But when he chooses wrong, he is relinquishing control and submitting to the authority of sin and to the authority of the prince of sin. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You choose to go that way, of course, mankind doesn't have much of a choice until he becomes a believer. But you're ensnared in the ways of the devil. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 describes it this way: wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, not having any choice to do otherwise, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Unbelievers are in bondage to these things, not in control of them. Mankind cannot reflect the image of God when he has submitted to an authority other than God. God himself never submits to any authority other than himself. Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So if a man is going to reflect the image of God, then he cannot be submitted to any authority other than God. To do so is to deny the absolute glory of God. And so it becomes imperative that man choose right over wrong in order to reflect the image of God. No, hold on. I will tell you in a bit why faith is the necessary key to doing that. It would be nice if mankind could just choose to do right over wrong. But the choice requires faith. I'll get to that in a moment. But consider this. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Referring to God, verse 3 says, I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, the God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. I think I had at some point made the case that God is right about everything. And we're going to see that. 1 Kings 14, verse 8. First Kings chapter 14, verse 8. And rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart to do only that which was right in my eyes. So there's the connection between his commandments and what is right. Psalm 19, verse 8. Psalm 19, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Psalm 33, verse 4. Don't you just love to hear those pages? Psalm 33, verse 4, the word of the Lord is right. Psalm 119, verse 75. Psalm 119, verse 75. I could just tell you this, but I think it's important for you to see the words on the page. I'm making the case that God is right about everything, and I didn't make that up. Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. And then Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. God's commandments, his rules for moral living, are right. God's statutes, God's orders for worship, are right. God's word, everything he says, is right. His judgments, all of God's legal requirements, are right. And God's precepts, the principles of God's word, are right. Everything about God is right versus wrong. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, God said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God says, whatever I am, I want you to be that, to reflect me. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We lost the ability to reflect the image of God in the fall. But when man is redeemed and restored to fellowship with God, we are restored to the ability to reflect his image. So that if we choose his commandments, we choose his statutes, we choose his word, we choose his judgments, we choose his principles, we can live right and reflect the image of God. To be right is to be in a position of authority, control, and dominion. God is right, and thus Psalm 50, verse 6 says God is the judge. Interestingly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Did you know we're going to be judges? Because in our glorified form, we will be right. So as I said, it would be wonderful if mankind could just use innocence or conscience or government or promise or law to make the right choice. But faith is the necessary key. Believing God to the point of excluding everything else provides the standard by which everything can be measured as to whether it is right or wrong. I believe that God is right and is never wrong, and therefore I believe everything God says. That is the key to choosing right over wrong. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. But what does that say about man? Apparently we're not very truthful in our flesh. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, those immutable things are referred to in verse 17, the verse just before that. The immutability of his counsel was one, and his confirming it by an oath is the other, demonstrating that it is absolutely impossible for God to lie. This was the problem that Adam confronted in the very beginning. He failed to believe that it was impossible for God to lie. Did God say that in the day you eat of the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, that you will surely die? Yeah, he said that. He lied. You won't die. Really? Put yourself in Adam's shoes. You hear the serpent say, God said you would die, but you won't die. What is that saying? It's saying God lied. God's not right. God was wrong. And the failure to believe absolutely that God is always right, the lack of faith in the Word of God, will lead you to choose wrong over right. The ignorance of unbelief always leads to choosing wrong over right. On the other hand, if Adam had believed that what God said was right, he would have made the right choice and sin never would have entered into the world. He could have eaten of the tree of life and preserved himself perfectly on earth forever. Believing God to the point of excluding everything else is necessary to bring an unsaved person into fellowship with God. First, a person must believe that God is right when he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Next, a person must believe that God is right when he says that the wages of sin is death. And that the wages of sin is not merely the expiration of life, but an eternal separation from God in a place of torment. Then he must believe that God is right when he says that the unsaved will be cast into a furnace of fire and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He must believe that God is right when he says that his son, Jesus Christ, actually satisfied the sin problem. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a satisfaction, through faith in his blood. then a person must believe that God is right when he says that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way a person can be saved from a sin. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He must believe that God is right when he says that man can have direct access with God the Father. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. When an unsaved person believes these things in his heart and professes them unto God with his mouth, he will be brought into fellowship with God in the body of Christ, where he obtains the capacity to reflect the glory of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Here is God's purpose for us now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And that predestination and adoption has to do with our glorification, not their salvation. And this predestination and our glorification is, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Ultimately, in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. But for the present, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we, here it is, should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. First, you trust in Christ. First, you believe. You believe all those things that I listed. You believe that God is right when he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You believe that God is right when he says the wages of sin is death. You believe that God is right when he says that Jesus Christ did everything that needs to be done in order for you to be saved. You believe that God is right when he says all you need to do is confess your sin before God, make a profession of faith, call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. And when you have trusted in Christ, then you can be to the praise of his glory. In whom, verse 13, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Notice the order. You hear, and then you believe. It's always the same throughout Scripture. First, you have to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. After that ye heard the word of the truth, ye trusted. the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believe, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are in the dispensation of grace, which is the grace giving of the Holy Spirit, by which he makes it possible for us to choose right over wrong and reflect the image of God, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment of the promise, until the redemption of the purchased possession, the glorification of our bodies, unto the praise of his glory. Believing God to the point of excluding everything else is necessary, the necessary factor in making all the resources useful in choosing right or wrong. By believing God, my conscience directs me to do right. If government would believe God, it would enforce God's word. If I believe God, I will wait as long as it takes for him to fulfill his promises. If I believe God, I will study his word, his law, and I will follow it. If I believe God, I will make use of his enabling grace that is in me. The bottom line is, I must believe in order to make the right choice. So do you believe that God is right? Do you believe that God is right to the point that you reject every other source of authority in your life? Do you believe the word of God? Do you use it to measure everything you do and to guide you in all of your choices? Are you in fact reflecting the image of God? Are you freely doing what is right, cultivating to prosperity each part of your life, and not living in bondage to any other authority other than God? Have you been born again? And if you have been, you have a conscience. You have an accountability to governmental authority. You have a copy of God's word, which includes both his promises and his law. That is his word. And you have the enabling grace of the Holy Spirit in your life. All of these things work effectively when activated by faith. And they assist you in fulfilling God's prevailing purpose. We are to be moons to his Son. Reflecting the image of God, reflecting the image of Christ, reflecting the glory of the Savior to the world, so that they can see him through us. How are we doing? Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this purpose. It was given to us in the very beginning of creation. Sadly, it was lost. And so many remain lost. Thank you for restoring us to the potential of reflecting your glory in this world through Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the purpose you have for us. Your purpose for us is not simply to extend our existence into eternity, but your purpose for us is to do the right thing. to believe you, to trust you, to reflect you, so others can see you through us. Please help us to be those who will fulfill your purpose in this world. I pray in Jesus' name.